Get mad, son of a bitch. Get mad.
This is crazy.
Attention.
Do I have your attention?
You hear me, you fucking faggots?
How fucked up you are!
Do you make an effort to be obnoxious, or is it a gift?
This is the Reverend Bob Levy, and you're listening to the Cousin Joe Show. You know why? Because show rhymes with... You know what? We'll be back after this.
Welcome to the Cousin Joe Show on More Like Radio. Do you know what that was, Dan?
That was the new Tom Petty song?
Yes.
New worst Tom Petty song?
The newest?
Newest?
Yes, that would be correct. I had no idea until the other day. Tom Petty released an album late July, and not only that, it might be his like first number one album, not just Billboard-wise, not just like rock or classic, whatever the fuck they, you know, categorize it. Genre-wise down to.
Yeah.
Overall, like it beat whatever fucking Beyonce shit is out there, which made me really happy.
Well, good for it.
Yeah, and yeah. I don't know why I just found out the other day, 2 months later, but...
Your newsletter was late.
I know. My e-letter.
Yeah.
I'm actually, like, subscribed to all my band websites, but it's my old email I never check, at OptOnline. Does anyone ever use that anymore,
no.
At OptOnline? Once Gmail came out, everyone just went, fuck that.
Everyone went Gmail.
I have, like, 6,000 emails on my Optum account. It's a bunch of bands and self-defense stores trying to sell me more knives.
Oh, that's good. You need some more.
You think so?
Yeah, you need more knives.
I could use a new switchblade.
Yeah, there you go.
There's always something.
It'd be good in the streets.
I do take it to the streets a lot.
I know you do. You know you're into the streets.
I keep it street level.
I'm aware. I know. That's how you rock and roll.
I wasn't talking just, you know, like, logically. What's the word I'm looking for?
I have no fucking clue.
Like street smarts.
Oh, you have street smarts.
Yeah. As opposed to book smarts. I thought you were rubbing that in.
No.
See, I thought that's where you were going.
No, I was saying
that.
you're from the streets.
Oh, okay. Well, I am. Born and raised.
In the streets.
Yeah. Well, it's the Big Apple.
Yeah.
Suburbs of the Big Apple.
Suburbs of the Big Apple.
We have a special guest calling in. I'm kidding. He's really not special, unless you call him retarded.
Okay.
Kenny Michaels from the Conti and Kenny Show will be calling in. I'll be doing Conti and Kenny again this Monday. Third Monday in a row. There's got to be some of their listeners getting really fucking sick of me at this point.
Maybe.
No, I would think definitely.
All right.
Yeah. That's just my go-to reaction instinct. I need Dennis immediately in the chat room. This is only for live listeners.
I don't think he's in there.
I need him immediately, so I'm just going to page him.
Summon him, yeah. I'm
paging him now.
Yeah, having a page throughout the MLR towers?
Yes. I have a little question about the chat room. It's not to my liking right now.
Oh, well, we can't have that.
No.
We can't have something not to your liking, Joe.
Never. So I need that remedied at once. There. Now I should tweet. Good. Good job, Joe. Tweet after the fucking intro's over that we're live.
Oh, good.
Great. Okay. Well, speaking of music and new music, I had even less fucking idea that U2 was coming out with a new album. No one had any idea.
Actually, we were just talking about how the album they were discussing hadn't been released yet.
Was it last week?
It was either last week or the week before.
Well, I'm getting a thing from Dennis through P-Rock. Tell that Sicilian cunt to deal with it on his own. Well, that's not a big deal. And hi, Lady Trucker. We were talking about it last week, and then someone told me it was out, and I go, what? I go, yeah, check your iTunes. And everyone freaked out. How is getting a free album an invasion of privacy?
I don't know.
That's what everyone was screaming about. By the way, the first time I listened to the new U2, I hated it. Fucking, I cringed. I hated it. But after you listen to it a couple times, I think that's like almost every U2 album after.
I haven't really given it too much listen.
It grows on you after like two or three listens. You got to listen to it front to back.
I'll probably get to it eventually.
Remember years ago how much easier it was? If anything, you had the lyric sheet in your hand, just sitting down listening to a brand new album.
Yeah,
now you're
you
on your fucking
along.
Phone looking at websites while you're listening.
Yeah, you're not focused on it.
No.
No.
Don't make me go into a vinyl rant.
I don't want you going into a vinyl
don't
rant.
Don't fucking
I know
make
you
me.
Will. No, I'm not making you. You might do it on your own.
No. I don't think I want to. How was your weekend, sweetie?
My weekend was nice, babe. Thanks for asking.
Okay. Mine was all right. I tried to squeeze out every last drop of summer that I could.
Yeah.
My next door neighbor, who has an amazing pool, Friday night was going out to dinner with his chick, and no one else was home there. So
ooh.
I had the pool to myself. But this is last Friday. What was it, like 72?
It's kind of chilly. It was a little chilly.
And now it's like 6 at night. But I went in. I was already drinking most of the day, of course. It was Friday, you know.
Yeah, you got to. How would you not be drinking on a Friday night?
In the summer, Dan. Summer spirit.
Of course, summer spirit. You got to drink.
Right, so it's a summer Friday, not just any. So, dude, my entire neighborhood, whether they liked it or not, listened to Pink Floyd, The Wall, front to back.
All right, it's a long album.
My friend has a pretty decent speaker system outside his pool, and you know how it is when you drink. For some reason,
the music gets louder.
Much louder.
It just keeps getting louder.
I believe the system said max on the volume.
Who's that?
You know when it... you know you turn the knob and you watch
yeah,
the numbers
turn
go
the knob
up or
all
down
the way,
depending,
and you
then,
turn it to
then,
max.
And then it goes max.
You turn it to 11?
Yeah, exactly. Thankfully, I didn't blow a speaker, so... Yeah, but I was actually in the pool. You know when you... maybe it's just me. I was hoping someone would call the cops.
Why?
I thought a confrontation would be fun.
All right.
I don't know why.
I guess
I was, you know what, maybe it was like Run Like Hell was playing, and I was really getting like
wanted
into
to
the mood. I was getting like amped up, I guess, from the wall. I don't know.
So you're all amped.
Yeah.
All right.
Naturally, after 20 minutes, I was my teeth were chattering. But I stuck it out. The whole album then. The whole album, I stuck it out.
You've got pneumonia so that summer can live on for one more day.
You realize it got dark, like, in between the first half of the album.
I would assume.
Yeah. And once you get out...
It's cold. Shrinkage.
I don't even notice that.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't mean it like that. But no, it's the last thing on my mind is how big is my dick when my
I'm sure that's the last thing on your mind most of the time.
Only in that moment. It might be the only moment that I'm not thinking.
Finally found
about
the one moment when you're not thinking how big your dick is. Wow.
Unless there were girls around.
Well, yeah, then they got to see. You got to pump it a few times before you get out of the pool.
Yeah,
so they know what's going on.
Flop it up. Just squeeze the head a couple times, like I'm doing right now.
Okay, that's
you know.
It's unnecessary. Thank you, though. You can stop.
All right, fine. If you want to join this cock squeezing show live, if you're listening live now, that would be now.
Nowish.
Right, unless it's on your iPod.
But it's not now.
It's not now anymore. You missed now. You can go to morelikeradio.com/live and get in the chat. And a bunch of the regulars are there. I don't know when Kenny's calling in. It is Kenny, so he might not call at all. But
bummer.
I know. He said he would. So I added his name in the tweet that we sent out that we're live.
That was nice.
So he feels compelled to, you know.
Oh, well, yeah, you got to use some sort of
holy shit, Larry King retweeted you, Dan.
Oh.
What? How is Larry King following
you? He's looking good.
He absolutely is. I know he was into Batman.
You follow him, Joe.
I know.
All right.
I mean, it's to be expected. I'm the host of the show. I'm the face of it. I'm the celebrity. So yeah, you're our celebrity status. Why wouldn't me and Larry King know each other? I was just surprised. Sorry, I got a text. I was surprised that you two are following each other. That's... It's a big step up.
He retweeted your tweet.
Oh, see what I mean?
Yeah, see, I'm not at that level yet, Joe. I haven't been hosting a show that long.
No, it's okay.
I'm working on it, though. One day.
You'll get there. After I retire. Yeah. Can you retire from something that doesn't pay?
I think you can.
Is that possible?
You just stop doing it.
Oh, there's Dennis.
Sometimes comedians I know who, like, you know, don't make any money will just retire. It's like, oh, nice. So you're just not going to show up. That's basically what that means. That's retirement.
Just stop showing up?
They just stop showing up.
Okay. Not a quitter. Sorry, I'm trying to get this thing fixed in the chat. That I probably shouldn't care about.
You shouldn't. You really shouldn't, especially right now.
Yeah, I know. Especially when we're trying to get going, right?
Especially when it's just, two of us.
What are you talking about? I just got a text. Kenny's calling in like 10 minutes.
Okay. So there we go.
That's 10 minutes from now.
10 minutes from now.
What do you want to do for 10 minutes? I mean, we got stories. We got our own stories.
You got your stories.
Are you a pool guy?
No, not really.
Well, I don't get you.
I'm not.
I don't get you people.
I'm not much of a shirt coming off guy.
Neither am I.
All right.
For good reason.
Mine are too.
I'm not saying yours isn't.
Yeah.
That's your, just going with a shirt on. Everybody does that.
All right, well, I just don't go in a pool much.
You ever fuck in a pool?
I got jerked off in a pool.
You got jerked... I kind of did, too. But I couldn't fuck. It's...
Doesn't work out?
No, the water's like an anti-lubricant. You can't... I don't know what it is.
It just kind of sticks.
You would think it'd be more slippery. You know? I don't know what it is. But it doesn't work.
Wait, just plunges?
I want to hear you getting jerked off in a pool story.
Oh, I was younger and... girl I was with jerked me off in the pool. It wasn't really a big story. It was just, you know, an occurrence that happened. It was enjoyable.
It was just you and her. Were you dating? Was you got
yeah, we were
at
dating.
A party?
We were dating. We were in the pool because there was no one home. And, you know, jerked me off.
Okay.
Good times. It wasn't a wild story. I don't got a lot behind. No one caught us.
It was almost like dick pinchable.
Yeah, well, I'm glad. I mean, you're doing it anyway, and that's why I appreciate you're dedicated.
Manic mode in the chat. Fucking in a pool shed is better.
Oh, well, yeah, the pool shed. You got tools.
When the pool doesn't work, if there is a shed, I would suggest you go in the shed.
You just go over to the shed? All right. That's nearby, usually.
Especially if it's someone else's pool.
Oh, that's fun.
And there's that whole risk of getting caught. Why does that make it hotter? It does, for some reason.
The idea you might get caught.
One time I fucked this girl in an Outback Steakhouse in the men's room on top of one of those baby changer things.
Nice.
And almost, she was small enough where it didn't, like, break. Yeah. I'm surprised. I only got halfway through. I think I was too nervous of someone walking in.
Maybe.
So maybe it isn't hot for me.
Then you got to walk out with that big goofy grin, like, I was just banging somebody.
Oh, yeah. No, you can't hide that expression. Yeah. Kind of like the expression on my face after I wrote cunt on a bathroom wall.
It's just something naughty.
People know what you did.
Yeah.
You can't just come out and pretend nothing happened.
Yeah, they know. They know.
I'm not very good at hiding my emotions, Dan.
I know.
At all.
I'm aware.
Yeah, P-Rock's agreeing with me. He doesn't fucking pools either. I don't think he can.
It stinks. That's what he said.
I don't think that's really adding much to the conversation, Dennis. Too bad I didn't drown. That's not very nice. Unless he was talking to you, Dan. I don't think he was, though.
I think he was going after you on that one.
I was with Dennis yesterday, sharing some drinks.
And he didn't drown yet.
At Jamie's bar. Well, he drowned the bar because this drunken fool knocked his glass over, his pint glass. He was talking to me about something I don't remember, nothing memorable or important.
Okay.
He was talking, and I guess he was, like, talking with his hands, and he just, like, swatted his pint glass, and the second it hit the bar, just shattered, which is pretty impressive because those are some thick fucking glasses.
Yeah, he's
kind of made to not happen, to just tip over, but...
he used some force.
Well, he's Russian. It's like retard strength, Russians.
Oh, they have that?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
You never seen Rocky?
I seen Rocky, yeah, but I thought he trained.
No, he's retarded.
All right. The Russian guy was retarded?
Well, Rocky too, now that you mention it.
So that movie was about two retarded guys fighting each other?
When you boil it down, yes.
Oh.
My answer is yes to that.
Thank you for the answering, eventually.
Yeah, I would see. I could talk so much shit. I'm gonna be nice and not do it about Dennis and his breaking glass because I know he won't call in to defend himself.
Mm.
He just refuses for some reason. But
probably because he doesn't like you, maybe.
What are you talking about? We went out for drinks.
Yeah.
What? Joe, are you sure you're logged in? I don't even care anymore. Jesus Christ. Thanks, Dennis. Appreciate it. Oh. Okay. I apologize to everyone that's not listening live. And to the ones listening live.
Yeah, them too.
Yeah, I want to apologize to you too. We just kind of threw this together last minute. As you can tell, there's a empty chair in here.
There's an empty chair. It's empty.
So... if for whatever reason you're thinking something along the lines of, wow, the show doesn't have that high energy back and forth conversation I'm used to, well,
it's because it doesn't have
just
it.
Tweet.
It doesn't have the high energy.
Because we're not high energy people. No. So just tweet at Dave Saitzyk, SAITZYK, and just say, hey, thanks for nothing. Thanks for nothing, man.
Yeah,
just
send
him those tweets. It won't annoy him at all.
It won't, no. In no way will that make him mad.
It won't bother him. He won't feel guilty at all.
He won't be mad at Joe.
Oh, shit.
Because he's definitely not going to pick it out on me, because he knows I wouldn't do that.
Oh, what does that mean? That means I'm the dick.
It means you're a dick. Yeah, I think it's pretty straightforward.
For real? For real, dick? Or like just joking around, dick?
Not joking around, Nick. You crazy guy. No, Dave did not get taken to Applebee's.
No, he just couldn't make it. He
couldn't make it.
Other prior engagements. Yeah.
What with the career and whatnot.
You know how I'm always shit talking, by the way, about.
Yes.
Could say anything right now, couldn't I?
Yeah.
About bachelor parties and weddings.
Oh,
and shit.
Yeah.
Well, the next one I got coming up, the hotels are paid for.
Sweet.
Right?
Yeah.
So now I'd be a total douche if I didn't go.
No, you got it. You don't have that excuse.
Right?
You just got to do it.
That was my main gripe.
Yeah, you just got to fucking... just got to do it, man.
Oh, it's... by the way, it's for the bachelor party, too. It's not the wedding itself. It's even better.
All right.
You know?
Yeah. Go for it.
I think it's AC. Did you know half of Atlantic City is fucking shut down now?
Yeah, most of it's closing.
I had no idea until I started...
Well, nobody has any fucking money anymore, so nobody really wants to lose all of it at Atlantic City.
Is that mainly what it is?
I would assume that it probably has something to do with it.
I think the article I read said Vegas is still doing just fine, but for whatever reason, Atlantic City...
people don't want to go to AC for that shit.
The Revel, where I stayed last year for my last friend's bachelor party thing.
That was fairly fucking new.
Yeah, it was totally redunk. It was something else before that.
Yeah, it was like pretty brand new.
It was fucking gorgeous. Done. Just done. Is it like the movie Casino? Do they implode the buildings, or they're just standing there now? Just
I don't know what the fuck they do. They're probably just standing there empty.
You should know about this.
How the fuck do I know? I haven't been to AC in fucking months.
Oh, look who's in the chat.
Who's in the chat?
Kenny Michaels.
Hey, that's the guy who's calling in.
Yeah, it is.
Cool.
Kenny, you could Skype Cousin Joe Show, one word. Let me just make sure I have that up. Yes, I do. And for anyone else, 845-228-8897. What's up, Kenny?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, man. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, sorry I couldn't get here a little earlier. I was running around.
Nah, that's cool.
I had to do my thing laying 5,000 yards of cable for some stupid show.
Were we doing a side job? What are you talking about?
Yeah, no, I get hired like freelance, like stage crew and shit. But this, I thought it was for a concert. It was for a lawn and garden fucking festival. Well, and all we did was pull out a big giant fucking extension cord and put them in booths.
Oh.
So I got that going for me.
We were just talking, I don't know if you're listening, Ed, when you called in.
But, no, I wow, you two. It's like you're somebody, like the IRS is auditing both of you at the same time. The last, like, 3 minutes. When you decided to apologize to everybody.
it's a tricycle with a wheel off, and we're trying to balance. It ain't working.
Yeah, I'm like, let me call him. Let me see if I can help them out.
All right, life raft.
Thanks for that fourth wall breakdown there, Kenny.
Yeah, we're honest with our listeners, Joe. We're honest.
No, but we're talking about how AC is like half dead. I had no clue. We're talking about bachelor parties and shit.
Oh, no, the good thing is it's going to turn because it's going to get really bad, but in a good way.
Like Camden old, bad? The old days. Oh, like Nucky Thompson bad.
Yeah. It's actually, absolutely.
I was actually thinking that.
Oh, the mob's going to swoop in?
It'd be more like just
I think they're already
hookers.
There.
Oh, the hookers are going to swoop in. All right.
Hookers and drug. The real estate's going to go down. They're going to put a lot more strip bars and probably rock clubs and all kinds of different stuff on the outskirts of the hotels.
Oh, so that didn't work out too well for Asbury Park, dude. Isn't that pretty much what they did?
Basically, until the gay guys came in, and now they're fixing it all back up.
Oh, they made it all fancy again?
It's all nice.
Yeah, no,
shit.
They bought all the old Victorian houses, and they redid everything.
Oh, I had no idea. What is that? What's that? Oh, the Stone Pony. I saw Filter there like once or twice. That's actually a nice place, but dude, the people there or in that area are still like, ooh, you don't want to stay there too late.
Right. If you go a couple of blocks in either direction, if you can hold your breath from the Stone Pony, once you have to take your first breath when you're walking, get in a car, because that's basically how close it is.
Yeah.
But no, it's actually it's rebirthing. They're redoing all kinds of stuff. Like when a bunch of gay guys move into your neighborhood, your property taxes go down. Your mortgage is worth more. They do a tremendous job on revitalization.
If I had money, now would be a good time to buy some property in AC.
Oh yeah, Joe, go down there and buy some shit up.
Then again, I mean, the outskirts of Atlantic City, whether the casinos are thriving or not, is always been dog shit. Right?
It has, but you can go down there, wave a 20 around, see what you get.
I think. Well.
Well, the whole thing is look
more
at
like 40, 50.
They built the. They built Revel for $2 billion, and some guy in Florida goes, "I got $90 million. You want it?"
Dude, I stayed there last year for a bachelor party. The place is fucking beautiful. Like
it
I was saying,
just opened like a year ago, 2 years ago.
Reopened,
like
Kenny was saying, they got bought, right? And then I guess they lost all their fucking investment money or whatever, and just. Well, said fuck it.
Well, what they did is they went apeshit on a construction, so they went way over budget. They instead of having all like a lot of gambling, they went towards the nightclubs and the bars and the fancy rooms instead of actually generating any money. They were hoping it would be like a spa weekend for Guido's.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it just didn't. The gambling wasn't good enough. Nobody ever won. So they would go to the Golden Nugget, which is brand new. They'd go to the Borgata, which is really nice, and they just kind of, you know, shot themselves in the foot. But now you got $90 million, you can buy a brand new $2 billion casino.
That's fucking insane.
Yeah.
I have the funniest dismembering story ever. Would you like to hear it?
Ever?
Of course.
Now, see, it's not so much the story and what happened, but, and we love these, the eyewitness account.
Pretty money.
This is fucking, I think, spectacular. Make sure, let me know, Kenny, if you can hear it, Hang on, I'll play it for you. And actually, I'm going to put the link in the chat. This is definitely something you want to watch as well. Okay. All right. And this is out of Memphis.
A first court appearance for a man accused of killing a man and dismembering the victim.
You hear that right, Kay?
Here, perfect, yeah.
Cool.
Victim's body. Tonight, the man who made the gruesome weekend discovery is talking to News Channel 3 about exactly what happened.
Now, Michael Wilson Jr. is charged with second-degree murder and abuse of a corpse after police found body parts of his home, at his home rather, in South Memphis over the weekend. WREG's Melissa Moon reports the witness is still trying to get over what he saw.
LeCedric Ruffin says he doesn't even know the man who lives here very well and says he came...
Before we even get to that, just can you imagine going on a first date and a girl is talking to you like this? Why do they do this? What is that?
What?
Let's do her.
To his house undone after he told him he had some scrap metal that he could sell. He left without that scrap metal after he got the scare of his life.
Ain't no smell, wasn't no funny smell, wasn't no signs of nothing going on until that bag busted. When that bag busted, that when everything got ugly.
Listen.
Okay. So, if you're playing catch up, what happened was this guy was in this other guy's backyard. Collecting scrap metal, and a head fell out of a plastic bag.
And that's when shit got ugly.
But
there was no smell or nothing.
My favorite is coming up in a minute. His reaction to it.
Cedric Ruffin says it's a story even police had a hard time believing. A head falling out of a bag in a backyard.
I really was looking around to make sure I didn't see none that's hell even to cut my head off with.
Ruffin says Saturday he...
Really? Around sheet metal? Huh. I'm sure there was nothing there.
Pulled his truck behind Michael Wilson's house to pick up some items. While loading them, he noticed Wilson pull a large black bag out of a garbage can and try to put it in a metal bucket.
What, Kenny?
There's a yard full of cut up iron. You know what I mean? This guy's got probably every table, bandsaw, anything you need to cut, this guy's got it. Yeah. A friggin' arc welder, you know.
Right. It's definitely Leatherface's house.
Plasma cutter.
Bag started ripping, and that's when things got gruesome.
Here we go.
When it fell, it was a head. I'm like, man, what the hell, man? What you got going on, bro?
I love that. That's what he said to this guy that was picking up.
What you got going on,
bro? A fucking head falls out of a plastic bag, and this is the response.
Bucket. He says the bag started ripping, and that's when things got gruesome.
When it fell, it was a head. I'm like, man, what the hell, man? What you got me?
What you got with these heads falling out of bags and shit?
I don't know if she mentioned it, but they're obviously their neighborhood friends. Because he wouldn't let him in the backyard digging through stuff
where
a body was. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the guy who owned the house was the one that picked up the bag to move it, like to get this guy some scrap metal or whatever.
Because his pal tells him, hey, you got any scrap money? He's like, yeah, I got some. I just got to move this bag for you.
Right,
you know,
right.
What the hell you got going? We used to cook ribs. We used to hang out like the other guy in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah.
We used to hang out as pals cooking ribs. And what you got going, man?
What you got going on here, bruh?
Where's your roommate been?
When it fell, it was a head. I'm like, man, what the hell, man? What you got going on, bruh? This and that. So he... Same day he panted to my man, he didn't mean to kill him, this and that. Kill who, bro? I don't know who that is. I don't want to know. You don't got to tell me.
But he says Wilson did
tell... Think that guy would make a good character witness for his friend?
Yeah, I think it'd be good.
Of course.
Tell him one
more. At least they'll get him YouTube hits.
I don't think they're inviting him to the stand for the defense.
He told me it was two hands in there, too.
And he thinks he was trying to slip the severed head onto the back of his truck along with everything else.
Oh, he was trying to pass the head off on the guy. Oh, with the scrap metal garbage.
Yeah, you know what they got to do is get every one of these first on the scene people and play like Family Feud or something or some stupid game. You know what I mean? Where they got to answer questions. They got to, you know, there was the one Steve Harvey. On Family Feud.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like in one of the clips he's like, fill in the blank, pork. And then the one guy goes, you pine. And Steve Harvey stops and goes, are you shitting me? You actually said you pine? Just, it's funny. But that would be a great thing.
I would love to see it. Just backing up a little bit, in the chat, Dennis says, funniest and dismembering in the same sentence. Welcome to the Cousin Joe Show. Well, yeah. Yeah. There's a little bit more here.
If that bag hadn't busted, I would have had that head going to the junkyard.
Ruffin, who's on parole, says his fingerprints were on every...
Hey, that's a shocker. This guy's on parole, in case you're wondering. He's holding a fucking Tipperello, whatever, a Swisher Sweet, whatever that is, which the camera just zoomed in on. I find that fucking hilarious.
Everything in Wilson's backyard, and he went straight to police to make sure they knew he had nothing to do with what was going on here. Officers also found a body inside this house on Dunn. Ruffin still can't believe what he saw.
I knew it was real because of the smell.
Did you say he knew it was a rib?
I knew it was real.
Oh, okay.
Because the smell.
All right. Oh, what does that mean? He smelled dead bodies before?
I guess when you probably know. I think it's one of those things, like once you smell it, you kind of know it.
Guess.
Like, what's that?
Yeah, that meat or any kind of meat in the sun or something.
You like if you drive by and like an animal died on the side of the road, you can smell it. You smell the death.
Yeah, and if the guy bandsawed his pancreas, I'm sure there's some kind of shit leaking in the bag.
Yeah, he probably hit some. I'm sure he didn't do a fucking neat job.
Well,
he probably nicked all kinds of shit.
It would sound a little bit messy. Did you hear the guy said there's also two hands in there?
Well, yeah, I'm sure the whole thing was in there.
No, it's just the head and the hands. The rest of the body was in the house. We'll get to that. It's like 10 more seconds.
But I ain't never seen that.
In South Memphis, Melissa Moon, WREG, News Channel 3.
Now, police have not identified the victim in this case, and neighbors believe it's Wilson's roommate, who they have not seen in days. Wilson is being held on $2 million bond.
I would go with that.
Did they try looking at the head?
Yeah, that would narrow it down.
I would assume, yeah. Maybe the fingerprints, something.
Yeah, that bag is all you need. Dental records and fingerprints.
That's all in there.
One bag. Maybe that's why he did that.
Look at that. He wanted to get caught. All you got to do is, how are we going to find out who this is? Well, we've got a head with a face on it and fingerprints.
I'll put all the parts that could possibly get me in trouble in the back. In this bag, everything will be cool.
I don't get that. Yeah, because he kept the rest of the body in the house.
Yeah, the rest of the body.
He thought he was going to pass off just the head and hands on his
on this
friend
guy. Yeah.
Fucking copper money.
Or yeah, he's got his sister's phone number, a wallet, a passport, an electrical bill that shows that he's a roommate there.
Ah, fuck. All right. Do you want to
what?
I don't know.
Bitch.
All right, I want to play this.
What do you want to play, Joe?
What we're doing right now is called a smooth transition.
Yeah, this is a relatable story.
Thanks for the help, Dan.
Anytime, dude. Anytime.
I don't know why they're calling this guy an artist. I think he's just an asshole. I'm going to put this link in the chat, too, in a second. What's up?
I was going to mention something. I heard you talking about U2 when I first popped it on.
Yeah, did you hear the new album?
No, I didn't, but it brought up when I was texting you before with your boys Pink Floyd.
Oh, the Machine, the band, yeah.
Yeah, I was figuring before you went on to something else with the music.
Yeah, no. Where'd you work with them again? Or?
Starland Ballroom. And remember I told you a long time ago, like, I never really got Pink Floyd until you were like, don't listen to the shit everybody knows.
Right.
Listen to the other stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And it actually, I've messed around a little bit listening to it, and then I saw this live, and it was awesome. They were really good.
Yeah, no,
they were really, really good.
I mean, any Pink Floyd, like, hardcore fan like me knows, like, The Machine is worldwide, like, one of the best cover. It just happened to be local, but they happen to be like, one of the best Floyd cover bands.
They're old, and the drummer's a transvestite now.
I thought you were joking. I didn't know about that part.
Sex change, yep.
He wears a fucking dress while he's playing drums?
I do. There was a couple of different costumes or whatever, and I wasn't sure exactly who it was, and you can't really sit...
Wait, he does costume changes?
Yeah, they got all kinds of wardrobe and shit. Not a lot. Nothing major.
That makes no sense.
They're not diva-ing it out, you know what
But
I mean?
That makes no sense, because Floyd did the complete opposite. They would, like, pretty much hide in the dark on stage. And just have, like, visuals projected on the screen.
They had the LED lights. It was all visual.
The laser light thing? Okay.
Yeah, you couldn't. You used the house lights, and then they brought their own. So you couldn't see shit on stage. That's why I didn't see anything.
And this was recent, you said, right? Because I thought they broke up.
No, it was 3 days ago.
Shit, okay.
Yeah, last week.
Now I got to look and see if they're playing anywhere local again. I would go.
Yeah.
It's been years.
I tell you, it was a great show. Yeah. It was a really cool show. And they said sometimes they go, they trail off a little bit and kind of Grateful Dead a song or two, you know?
Well, they also have their own material, which they really don't play that often at all. But, they also wrote their own stuff.
Oh, really? Okay.
Is that what you mean, or you mean they do other covers?
Like, No. You'll recognize a song, and then they'll just start jamming.
Oh, in the middle
they'll
of it?
They'll just jam and trail off for a couple of minutes on something.
Oh, I gotcha.
And it was really cool, man. It was really cool. And unless you said it, I would've been like Pink Floyd. I could go suck it. But I actually, I was like, I never got it, and I get it now. Kind of. I got to get more into it, but I'm digging it.
Was it a sold out show?
No.
Really?
It was close. Yeah. It was definitely close. And it's funny is once whatchamacallit, they did the last song and then they did the encore.
Right.
Most of the time, by the time we come back to go back on stage to start breaking stuff down, there's like a shit ton of people just waiting there for like drumsticks and picks and everything. They want us to throw it into the crowd. Set lists.
Yeah, dude. Most cover bands, you don't get that, but there are a shitload of fans that are crazy about them, even though, they're just, quote, a cover band.
30 seconds after the last song, the place was empty. there was a lot of old people in the crowd, like old hippies.
Right. Yeah.
And I guess they had to get up or take a shit or something, because normally people hang around there and, the security has to escort them out. They're like, you got to go.
Right.
This one, by the time I hit the stage, it was like no one was there. Okay. Some guy was already sweeping. But I guess
you know, have you ever done that? Have you ever, like, especially in the city, after the show's over, do you ever go outside around like where where the back entrance is and where the tour bus is? Just to maybe catch a glimpse, maybe get a photo with. You ever done that? I did that at a Chris Cornell concert, and Juliette Lewis had a band that opened for him. I forget the name of her band.
I remember it was kind of punk rockish, kind of.
Shitty. But I saw her come out, and I probably could have went up to her, but I was like, I think I got nervous. I don't know. I jerked off to Juliette Lewis so many times in my life. Maybe I got nervous. I don't know. But
right there in the alley? Just start whipping it out.
But she wasn't even with an entourage. It was just like her and her band walking to, wherever. So I stood there for another like 40 minutes waiting for Chris Cornell to come out the same door. Never happened.
Oh, Joe.
Oh, that's not as sad as my Roger Waters story, though. Like Kenny was just talking about Pink Floyd. If you don't know, of course, they're my by far favorite band of all time. I got a Pink Floyd tattoo of the hammers from the wall, which Roger Waters wrote. If you don't know who Roger Waters is, he was the lead of the band for the majority of the years, the popular ones. Wrote Dark Side, The Wall, Wish You Were Here, all that shit, right? So my cousin works at Sirius XM, Kenny. You know my cousin Eric.
Yeah.
And Roger Waters was doing one of those, like, I think it's called, like, Town Hall or whatever, like, interviews in the fishbowl there. This was, like, a year or two ago. He was promoting the Wall tour that me and Conti went to see and,
Right.
So he's in there for an interview, and the guy interviewing him is Jim Ladd, who is like L.A.'s version of Scott Muni. Like, he was an old-school classic rock DJ that just played whatever the fuck he wanted, So it was awesome, because that guy appeared on Waters' solo albums. I'm babbling. No one cares about this. But the point is, it was a really select few. It's not like, it's in the lobby of Sirius XM. So there's not many people there. My cousin got me in just to watch it, like, barely. I was, like, behind a fake shrubbery, in the fucking lobby on a couch. But the people that were there won a contest because they had, entered through Sirius's thing.
And you're standing in a tomato plant.
And I'm fucking literally, like, trying to brush plastic leaves out of the way to look through this fucking glass thing to see him be interviewed. But I'm still, like, 20 feet away, and it's really cool. And they're inside this glass booth, they call it the fishbowl, doing the interview, and everyone who was there, except for me, was either there because they won a contest to go there, or they worked there. So people had these badges or whatever, and everyone got a picture with Roger, except for me.
He couldn't get you a fucking badge, huh?
No, he couldn't. And
he couldn't even let you wear his for like just to get your picture.
It gets worse.
Oh no,
it gets worse. At this point, I'm like, my cousin had gone back. He couldn't hang with me the whole time. He had work to do on the floor right above it. So I'm going up a floor. I walk up the stairs to go, like, say goodbye to him, whatever. And I do that. And then I go get in the elevator. And it's just me and one other guy in the elevator.
Was it him?
Right before the doors close, Roger Waters, a security guard, and I guess his assistant walked towards the elevator, and the security guard, he had a serious like shirt on. He worked at Sirius. Asked us to get off the elevator so Roger could get on. And now I'm less than 5 feet away from Roger Waters, who in my world is God.
All right. And did you say
that's
hi?
That's my higher power, okay?
Did you hug him?
I'm 5 fucking feet away.
Did you show me when, Pink Floyd shirt?
Dude, when the security guard said to me and the other guy in the elevator, did you mind getting out? The other guy walked out. I stood still and kind of looked down, I guess thinking like, maybe if I don't move, the guy will think I belong here. I didn't fucking move.
You thought you were still in the plant.
Yeah. And the doors just close and you were in there alone like an asshole?
No. The guy had to once again say, sir, can you please? And I went, all right. And I'll never forget, Roger Waters looked me in the eye and goes, sorry, guys. And that was my moment.
That was your moment.
I was a foot
Roger
away
Waters.
And I got kicked out of his elevator.
You know what, though? That's just as good, because I've always said, as long as you're sharing the same airspace, you know what I mean, with someone you dig.
Yeah.
You know, if you're watching Paul McCartney, even if you're in a stadium, you're like, there's a fucking Beatle like 100 yards away from me.
Yeah, you're
you know?
Getting that energy.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And it was still like my fucking blood was pumping still. It was awesome. But
I honestly thought you were going to say that. You were pissed. You were, because I know how you are when like authority, and I was imagining you saying like the security guard told you to get the elevator, and you just hit the elevator close button or something like a dick.
I was too in shock that Roger Waters was that close to me to do anything.
Well, you had no time to prepare.
This was a complete surprise. Obviously, I had no idea he was headed towards the elevator. I was just like, all right, well that was cool. I'm going home now. And then whoa, what? I got to get off because he wants to get on. What? Which I found kind of weird. It was me and one other guy. It wasn't like I don't know. But even if, you know, I guess the main thing is if I could have stayed on the elevator, maybe I could have bothered him for a picture. What else could I have really done? You know, like, hey, you like my tattoo of your thing? You like it? What the fuck am I, you know?
Your body temperature would have went up like 17 degrees. You would have swallowed 18 times just thinking exactly how to approach him and say, you know, I've never been in a situation. I'd be starstruck by something like Carlin. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I met him in an elevator, I'd be like, dude, you know, I wouldn't know how to. But you'd be surprised, man. The more like I work these shows.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, like, I've worked for Korn.
I love your gig, by the way. I've always wanted to do that. That is awesome.
It's ball-breaking work. You know what I mean? It's most of the time, it's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the work is, you know, you got to unload trucks and stuff. It's really not that bad because the dudes you're hanging out with are just like a bunch of idiots that are really cool. And you're seeing live music. You're around it every night. You don't go home until 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, you're hanging out backstage with all these people. But the funny thing is like first week I was like, oh man, I'm working for Korn. I'm going to watch the show. I just want to see it. I'm not really a big fan, but I'm just going to watch it. 15 minutes into it, I was like, yeah, they're cool. And I went back and on a laptop. It literally wears off. You just
really?
Because you have the badges. So you can go by the lights, the guitar. You have you can go wherever you want.
And if you wanted to, you could meet the band, right? Or would you get in trouble for that?
All depends on the band. Most of the
do they tell you beforehand? Like there's set rules
exactly.
For certain,
don't look them in the eye.
Most of 95% of the time, the guys are really cool, especially the local dudes. You know what I mean? Or the bands that haven't been around, like the Machine Guys were cool. There was a band in the 70s. It was like a funk band called the Outlaws. And they were like, you know, mid-70s, like a Three Dog Night kind of a thing. Like kind of like Southern rock kind of a stuff, you know?
Right.
Awesome fucking guys. Really cool. Then you've got guys that have meetings with the project manager, where there's three people in a room. There's the project manager, there's a lawyer, and then there's the lead singer of a band that has to whisper into the lawyer's ear to talk to the leads, to talk to the stage manager.
Are you serious?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the guy's just sitting there going, come on, man. We're across the table.
Shit.
It starts in an hour. I remember the lead singer of Korn, what's his name, got went ape shit because the guy that does the parking lot took a shit in the dressing room, in the dressing room shitter, because that was the only one that was clean after the show. And it was supposed to be off limits. It was like the upstairs. It's not a very big green room or dressing room. And the guy just he that's where he went and took a shit after his shift. He was out in the parking lot. He's a big dude. He was 6'5", 400 pounds, and he dropped a bomb in what's his name's bathroom. And that was a big it's
fucking
to do.
Great.
Another one was in another band that I just worked for recently, where you couldn't talk to him about tattoos. All of the water.
Wait, they
that
told
they had,
you this. Sorry, they told you this beforehand that you couldn't. You could talk to him, but not about certain things.
Most of the time, unless the bands travel around into the trenches with us guys, us regular people, which a lot of them do, because they'd rather hang with us than, you know, sit upstairs and watch CNN. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're most of the time they're downstairs. They're having beers. We can't drink. But they're, you know, they get their writers, so they got vodka and beer and food and, you know. But there's guys that are called runners that go and pick them up from hotels and whatnot and
right,
bring them down.
And those are the runners are the ones that get the shit that you see leaked on those websites like Smoking Gun or whatever, where they show the ridiculous demands that bands have, right?
They're the list.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't talk about tattoos. You got to pick them up at 9 o'clock in the morning in Manhattan to take him antiquing. All this other stuff, to, you know, don't look them in the eye, don't do that. And you're like, come on. You're
well, Dan was joking when he said that. That really, you've gotten that?
I haven't gotten a don't look in the eye, but we've gotten the every single exit is closed off, and then their people surround them, and then they walk through. And you can't move, you can't go anywhere near it until that person comes off stage. There are people like that. And you're like, dude, it's Papa Roach. You don't deserve that.
Yeah, well, what the fuck are you
doing? which I make fun because the lead singer of Papa Roach is a cool ass dude.
Yeah.
Guys like The Offspring are fucking awesome. The guy from The Offspring took this guy, Vinny, who was a runner, but he used to do magic. And he flew him out to DC just to ride on the plane on his private plane with him and like do magic in front of us. So the guy hung out with him for like fucking 10 days just because he wanted to hang around and have him do magic anytime he wanted.
That's adorable.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of good guys. But there are a 5% that you're like, dude, get out of yourself. This fucking place was under 10 foot of water during Sandy. You ain't that big anymore.
Yeah. No, and just to go back, and then I want to ask you something about this, Kenny, but just to go back to my Waters experience, even after that, when I got on the next elevator, sans Roger Waters.
You smelling it?
When I got outside, I saw like some kids with Pink Floyd vinyl records waiting to be signed. So I'm thinking, all right, cool, this is where he's going to come out. So if they're, I mean, all these people are waiting out here with Sharpies and shit from the sign.
Yeah.
All right, fuck it, maybe we'll just wait out here and maybe get a picture out here. Another 45 minutes standing there, and finally I hear some kid go, oh, man, he went out the back way. He went out the back. And it's, oh, I had a lonely walk to Penn Station.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Damn.
I mean, it was fun. It was cool. Like Kenny said, it was cool enough just that he was in my presence. Like,
you shared the same airspace. Yeah. Man.
Yeah, it was fucking awesome. But, I mean, because, yeah, I mean, how many people can say that they were?
You won't forget it ever, right?
Oh, yeah. Fuck no.
That's a highlight, right?
Oh, dude, it's so vivid in my memory, and I have almost none. I drink a lot and I take Xanax. I have almost zero memories. But this one is very vivid. Yeah.
Yeah, your Jot limbic system down. Is all jacked down.
Oh yeah. But no, have you ever, I mean, when you weren't working, Kenny, for this kind of shit, have you ever been that guy waiting around outside of a concert for
I never, because I was never a big concert guy. I got into, like, my first concert, of course, it was Johnny Cash. In 1982.
Well, that's not a bad first concert, dude.
No, not at all. And I never respected it. I never realized until I became another fan of his because he was, my father loved him.
Mm-hmm.
So then for 20 years after that, I never really paid attention to Johnny Cash. One, probably because my father liked him. And I was like, fuck him. I don't like what he likes. And then I was like, Johnny Cash is fucking cool as shit. And then you're like, man, my first one was, and I kind of, you wear that as a badge, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That was my first. And then for years, like, it was Johnny Cash, then I saw the Monkees. You know what I mean? It was like
a bit of a drop off.
There was a huge gap, yeah. And then I never really started really getting into music until I started, like live music, until I started working with it. Because you could have a shit band, you could have a bunch of guys that, you know, they play in a garage or they play in a basement and they just try to piece everything together. But you put them with some with a $5 million amplify, you know, a $5 million stereo system with some lighting and some smoke, and they put on a great show.
Yeah.
You know, some of them suck, but live music, you can't get any better than it. Doesn't matter. Live music is live music if it's you know, an Irish band or death metal.
Yeah.
It's still, you have to respect it. So
I would take going to see a band I never heard of over going to some fucking club any day. Easily.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely, yeah.
Dance club or shit, yeah.
You gain so much more respect when you see these, when you, whatchamacallit, you see all these old fucking Wurlitzers and organs and whatnot that have just been beat up from the road in these cases that have, like, you know, Budokan Japan fucking stickers.
Right.
And you're like, wow, this shit's been all over the world. It's pretty good.
Dude, is this more
Western Echo? Good bands are good bands, and whatchamacallit? Shit bands are shit bands. A good amp and pyrotechnics don't change anything. All right, you fucking splitting hairs.
He has to hate everything.
Of course, but how about a good up and coming band that are good musicians? You give them a good sound system and they sound awesome. But you just have a better respect for live music.
Oh yeah,
and if you put a DJ on the same system, you'd sound even better.
Dude, speaking of like upcoming bands, you know how it's the cool thing to do is to hate the opening act at whatever concert you go to. It's like no one wants to be bothered. It's just no one wants them there. You're just waiting for who you paid to see. Most people. There was an STP concert, and matter of fact, it might have been at Starland. This was like, you know, 2002. I'm talking though. Somewhere in the city. It might have been. It was either Starland or what the fuck's the other one?
Scott Weiland and the big legendary asshole.
Remind me to get to that in a second. This is quick. The opening band is called Hometown Hero. They're giving out CDs out front, like, you know, sample. And like four or five tracks from their album, like a sampler for free. And I remember some hot girl was next to me, and she looked at it, was like, and like tossed it. And I'm like, yeah. And I do the same thing because, you know, I wanted the hot girl to like me, and that went nowhere, of course. But then they started to play, and I was like, holy fuck. And I bought their album, and I'm still like a fan. That was the only time an opening act. It takes a lot. You're fucking.
Oh, yeah.
It's a fighting battle uphill every time. If you're an opening act for a very well known band and no one knows you, oof, that's fucking rough.
I remember I was a Beastie Boys fan when they first came out, and my father and my mother went and saw Madonna at the PNC Arts Center, and they got booed off the stage within about 45 seconds. Oh. They started, we got a fight. They were like, boo.
Dude, even worse than that, I went to see Tom Petty at PNC, and the Brian Setzer Orchestra opened for him. I'd never really heard of his shit before. I still
Which one?
Brian Setzer Orchestra.
Oh, yeah, sure. Stray Cats, yeah.
So, dude, it's PNC, and like usual with PNC, you know, there's tailgating going on. It's not the city, so you can tailgate in the parking. A lot of people don't know. So the opening act, like usual, it's barely filled a quarter to capacity, you know, maybe that much. After two or three songs, I guess his name's Brian, I would imagine, says something on the mic like, there's not enough of you here. If you don't care, I don't care. And they walked off. They walked off as an opening act.
Really? Fucking, yeah. They were too big for it.
Yeah. They were too big to be.
Well, the early 80s Stray Cats were selling out their own venues.
I bet.
Yeah, they were doing their rockabilly stuff.
But now I really want to hear this firsthand info you got, because listen, I've not just STP, which I saw STP and Filter at PNC, and I waited 2 hours for STP to come on fucking stage. I saw Scott Weiland twice solo. One of the times, I think the last time, it was in the city. It was like Highline Ball. It was one of the really small places. It was right after his book signing. In his somewhat small defense, he did Howard in the morning, had a book signing at Barnes & Noble, and then...
Who goes to a Scott Weiland book signing? That's like an intervention.
Yes. And he had to go right from there to wherever this little place was in the city I was going to see him. The show was supposed to start at, I think, 8:30 or 9. And this is like a Wednesday night, Tuesday, Wednesday night. And he doesn't go on till close to fucking midnight, dude. Half the crowd left. The other half that stayed just kept drinking and literally booed everything he did. Like, it's like they I've never seen anything like it in my life. It's like they stayed just to yell fuck you at him in between songs, which they literally did. And, you know, I get why. I was pissed too, but I'm such a stupid hardcore fan, I had to stay, even though I knew I'd be late for work the next morning like everybody else. But, yeah, from what I've heard and read, all those times where he's late, really late, is because he's either just waking up from drinking too much. We had Richard Patrick from Filter on the phone, and he mentioned something along the lines of that. You know, like he just like takes his time because he's either too drunk or getting fucked up, even though he claims he's clean.
Yeah, but I never saw firsthand. I never worked for him, but there's classic stories. I mean, there's a bunch of people that are like that, guys. Like there was one, some guy was like, "Yeah, man, it was when STP came back around to do another tour, and then someone was like, Velvet Revolver." And he goes, "Velvet Revolver," and like throws a drink at the dude or something. It was like,
what, during the concert?
Yeah, yeah, like backstage. Backstage, you're like one of the guys at work.
Oh, oh, backstage.
He's like, "Hey, Velvet Revolver, man." He's like, "Ew," and like chucks his drink at the guy.
Oh, he
and
took it as an insult. Wow.
Yeah, and there's another one. Bon Jovi slipped in. He's got his boots on, and he slips, and there was the floor was bone dry.
Hang on, wait again. This is backstage. Bones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, okay. I wasn't working. This is a story that I heard from somebody.
Yeah.
And he's got his boots on, and he comes off stage, and he's doing something in his hands, and he literally slipped and almost bust his ass. And he goes, "Somebody better wipe and clean that shit. Someone's going to get hurt. That's really bad. Someone's going to have to." And a guy walks up, and he goes, "It's fucking dry." There's nothing to wipe up, dude.
He just didn't want to look like a fucking fool, I guess.
Yeah, they actually say that Springsteen is one of the coolest fucking space cadets of all time.
Oh, like he's just out there? Like
he's one of the coolest dudes. A friend of mine, he had gotten a picture. Like, Springsteen lives in Jersey, so he takes him to local venues to all the bands that his kids like. So his kids like bands that, you know, 15 people show up to see him.
And he'll be in the audience.
And he'll be there. Oh, no, Bruce will bring him in. He's like, "Yeah, let's go see the bands." So, you know, you'll have like an off night and holy shit, there's Springsteen.
Right.
So a friend of mine, he gets a picture of him, right? And it's him and them standing in the hallway. And a year later, he's at the same venue, another show. And the guy goes and gets another picture with him. Then he reaches into his own bag and pulls out the picture from the year before. And Springsteen goes, "Oh shit! How'd you do that so fast?" Like he was, his mind was boggled how he went into his bag and pulled out the picture, not knowing it was from a year before. But he was fast. He's like, "What kind of bag is that, man? What kind of machine you got in there that makes those pictures?
How'd you make it change my shirt, man?"
He didn't even realize. He probably had the same leather jacket on. He's like, "Oh shit, that's so cool, man. How'd you do that?"
Oh man. The live stream went out. I'll restart it during break. You want to take a break now? Kenny, you gonna hang? I'm probably gonna go till like 9 tonight.
I'm good, man. Yeah. I said, once I got home, I'm free, so I'm in.
Awesome, man. Very cool. All right, we'll take
I'm not talking too much, am I?
No.
Absolutely no.
You can't be talking enough. Do you understand how much you bailed me out tonight?
Seriously.
It's a good Springsteen story.
Seriously.
All right, Kenny, again, thanks so much. Stay right there on the phone. We'll be back. Check out the Cousin Joe Show, More Like Radio.
Yeah, did Willie, can I help?
Yeah, Willie?
Yeah.
Yeah, Willie, I just spoke with you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know who Bob Jim is?
Oh, Jim Bob, he's one of my employees.
He's one of your employees?
Yeah.
Do you know how rude he is?
What you talking about?
He told me, I just got off the phone, and they said, oh, my God, is that right? They're coming, they're going over there first thing in the morning.
Oh, don't, what you talk about?
Well, what did we talk about? See, I had somebody come to my car and take pictures, right?
Yeah.
And they came to an estimate of $2,201.50.
Oh, you trying to get cash money out of my company?
I'm trying. No. I want my car fixed. They hit my car.
You take your car down to the damn repair shop and fix the damn thing.
No, people came.
How much money you want out of us? $100, $500, what you want?
Listen, the people came, took pictures.
Come on, I got 500 people on the telephone.
Okay.
What you want? What do you want? $500,
$100,
$1,000, what the hell? How much money you want?
$8,000 car I got, right?
$8,000? Oh, come on. Don't be a jive turkey. Don't be a jive turkey.
What do you mean don't be a jive? You know what year my car is?
I don't give a damn. What year is your car?
I got a... What?
A 95 with your car.
Wait a minute. What are you saying? There ain't no $8,000 cars out there?
You want to get $8,000? I don't...
No,
where you get these numbers
at?
Where you get these numbers from?
I never said 20. I said two.
Where you get $8,000 from? I don't know what you talk about.
You asked me how my car was. How much is it worth? And I told you.
I don't believe that your car worth in 20.
You know what year it is? $1,098.
Yeah, you trying to collect cash money out of us. We'll give you $1,000.
$1,000?
$8,000. Who the hell you think you is, boy?
Man, they just came and took pictures,
I don't give a shit they say. We'll give you $500.
$500?
Yeah, if you're lucky.
If I'm lucky. $500 wouldn't fucking fix the fender.
$500, a lot of money. You go buy yourself a malt liquor, throw a big old party with $500.
I'm not the one that took pictures of the car.
I don't give a damn who took the picture. I don't care if Santa Claus. I don't care if Santa Claus took the picture.
Why don't you fucking tell the people that took the pictures of the car?
Shut the hell up, cracker. Listen to me. We'll give you $500.
What are you smoking, crack?
Your mammy smoked crack.
Man, you know what? So, you know what? You better hope the fuck I don't see you.
Don't you start talking
this
kind of shit.
Right?
I don't know who the hell you
are. You are on tape.
Trying to get $8,000.
And let me tell you something, right? I got every right to say what I'm saying, right?
I got five other calls.
I got you on tape.
I got other people. I got other phone calls. I don't have time for this.
And what are you going to tell them? The same damn thing you're telling me?
I tell people what I want to tell them.
Yeah?
My company, I do what I want to do.
Yeah, what the hell is... What? Your company sucks.
Get off and kiss my ass. Kiss my black ass.
Kiss my black ass.
Get off this telephone.
Who the fuck are you, man? You get off the fucking phone. I can't even fucking drive. I got fucking $400 into fucking rent-a-cars.
Good.
Rent-a-cars alone, $400.
Good, get 2, 3, 4 rental cars for all I care.
Yeah, and guess how much the tow bill is?
I don't care.
And you know what? I was going to override that.
Like I said, kiss my black ass.
Yeah, we're going to see who kisses whose ass, all right?
Hey, don't start talking some kind of shit.
Well, then hang the fucking phone up.
Yeah, goodbye.
Motherfucker.
MoreLikeRadio.com. Because mean people need to laugh too.
Did you know you can listen to any of the More Like Radio shows on the go? Download TuneIn Radio on your smartphone and search More Like Radio and never miss a show.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
My father, he's the worst. He'll ask for something, but he'll ask you, like he asked if we had measuring tape. But he always goes, "You got measuring tape?" No. I'm like, "Could you let me answer first?"
Automatically knows
always
you don't.
Always does that. Just assumes that.
Yeah. You got anything we need? No, you don't.
No. He would just go, "You got a measuring tape?" No. I'm like, then no. Apparently we don't. Oh, Nostradamus knows that we don't have the measuring tape.
You ever put curtains up? You got screws? No.
He cuts that all the time. He'll be like, "Hey, did you call about the medical bill?" No. I'm like, you know what? Why'd you ask? Why'd you ask?
He just called
and
get you fired
up.
He just called to get you fired.
Yeah. Fucking Jonathan Edwards. You're a negative Jonathan Edwards. Don't even ask. "Hey, did you go to work today?" No. All right, then fuck you. Always does that, dude.
Oh, that's
always does that.
The Conti and Kenny Show. Monday nights, 7 to 10 on morelikeradio.com.
Get all the best talk in one place. MoreLikeRadio.com. Hashtag Occupy Our Balls.
Back with the Cousin Joe Show. I'm More Like Radio. Joining us, very special guest. Oh, that was a professional fucking fade out, wasn't it?
You did it.
God damn it. Because I got knobs. I got knobs instead of faders here. Anyway, Kenny Michaels.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Is joining us, and thank you so much for doing that. Much appreciated. Yeah, a little STP that I so professionally faded out. What's the matter, Dan? You just smacked something down?
No, the board fell down.
The board?
The dry erase board.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear about
our communique.
Yeah, sorry, Kenny. When you were on break, I muted your audio end of Skype by accident.
Oh, that's all right. I've got this fancy Blue Yeti, so I just mute and you can't hear.
What the fuck is a Blue Yeti?
That's this fancy Skype microphone I bought for the...
Does that imply it's a Bluetooth?
No, it's got all kinds of hookups. It's just got the couple of wires.
So it's got the sounds incredible already. But no, it's got the two, you know, headphone and mic input that goes to your headset.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's got the whole thing. And
you sound really good.
I got gain. I can have five people in here and we just have one mic in the middle of the table. And
Just
turn the gain down. And just it's one person and it's beautiful.
No shit. So it's not just a headset. It's.
No, it looks like a Johnny Carson mic.
Oh, okay.
Like old school mic. I stay about probably about a foot away from it, and boom.
It's been sounding really, really good.
Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah, I used it when I was in hotels. I would just set it up, and I got my computer, the whole thing. Nice little setup.
Now I'm intrigued. Is it USB?
Yeah, I got a USB. It's got the headphone thing. And
it's got software on there, like so you can monitor your levels and shit?
No, it's got knobs in the back.
Okay.
For like, if you've got five people, you switch it over. It's got like this thing where, you know, you see like five seats. Then it's got, one person, and then I could put the gain up. I actually had to learn how to do that because when I would take a break, I would go and take like a piss or something or make a drink, and the gang would pick up the ice cubes coming out of the ice bucket in the hotel room. And they're like, dude, who's taking a shit? And I'm like, you guys can hear that? So then I had to readjust. I had to readjust the gain.
I think I was there for that show, actually.
Yeah.
Oh shit, that's hilarious.
Yeah, just for shits, I'll send you over a little picture of it.
I think you should.
Cool,
Kenny. How's the love life?
Non-fucking existent, dude.
Same here. Now, have you tried any of the online dating apps? I stupidly paid for Match last year, canceled it. But now I'm on, you know, Plenty of Fish, that's free. OK Cupid, that's free.
I haven't experimented yet. But my sister that I live with here, she's been on a bunch of dates that have not panned out. And I see the commercials and then I'm like, you know, I'm a dude. I could probably get laid. When Plenty of Fish came out, there were mutants. Dude,
all I heard about that, what? No, all I heard about Plenty of Fish on the early days was it was just people looking to fuck, and everyone knew it.
When it first came out, you were getting like threes in a dude that were going to dinner with like nines and bang, and then showing pictures. It was a free-for-all. I don't know how it is now.
It's not like that, I can tell you firsthand. Not
okay, when it first came out, though, it was like, it was brilliant. I mean, I never used it because I was dating people at the time. But, like, these guys would come in, and they're like, look who I'm going out to dinner with. I just banged her last night. And you're like, how did you get that?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. You're 25, and you look like Abe Vigoda. There's no reason for that shit.
Now, I got to ask, especially after that incentive, why were you, like, apprehensive of, look at me using big words. Why, for me, those are big words. Why did you not, like, jump into it?
Because I was 30. I was, so you know, what? 30, traveling around, and it was there. I was in, you know, the restaurant business and nightclubs and stuff, and managing nightclubs and
doing
comedy.
You're saying you didn't need it?
No, I didn't.
Okay,
I do now.
Right. So why are you not on it now? See, my biggest thing is two. What the fuck is my username going to be? And what I can't write about myself in a positive light. I'm not good at that at all. Like the bio section, that's my biggest problem.
Okay, you might need a little hand on spice thing and punching up your bio, but
I do.
You know, it's when you know you get. Oh, one, I left a job that I was making a shit ton of money, and now I'm working for transvestite cover bands. You know what I mean? So there's a little drop off in you know, I do have a house and all kinds of old man bills. So you're like, well, I'm a big catch, you know. But it's a point now where I'm like, you know what? I should try it. I should give it a shot because I'm not against it, 100%. Not against it at all. Right. You know, I think it's a lot easier for guys to probably get what they want. You know what I mean? Unless you're on Christian Mingle, it's basically you're trying to get laid. As much as you can, you know, because you're a two times divorcee.
I don't think Christian Mingle is the place people go to get laid, Kenny.
No. I'm saying that's the opposite. Special.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, the other ones, you know, you got to get lucky. I think it's easier for a guy to find a girl than a girl, you know, the opposite way.
Oh, of course. Have you tried the Tinder thing?
No, I've actually been thinking about that because I've heard it mentioned. For some reason, a bunch of people mentioned it in like the last like 2 weeks.
That's the simplest way to do it. You don't even need a bio if you don't want. It syncs up to your Facebook, but does not post anything on your Facebook that you're even on it. And it uses that for profile pics. It should, you know, you limit the distance, and it's just yes or no. It's like a hot or not type thing, you know?
Yeah, a friend of mine, when Plenty of Fish first came out, we were like, someone do a profile. Me and a bunch of guys were hanging around. Someone do a profile. So I was like, I'll do one. Guy, good looking, in great shape, you know? And we started doing his bio on the questions. And when it came down, everything else was, you know, a restaurateur, you know, successful, the whole thing. And then it was up for a couple of days, and he was getting a lot of hits. And then once he went out, I went out with a couple of girls, and they were like, well, you do drugs? And he's like, yeah, sometimes. So he's one of those guys
who
had
that in his profile?
No, not yet. But he would go out with girls, and they would ask him, and he would be honest because he was that kind of guy.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, I do drugs sometimes. So then he's like, I'm not going out with these girls anymore. Every time they bring up drugs, they want to leave. It's over. So I'm putting on my profile that I do drugs occasionally. And to see the plummet in the talent realm, it just sank. And you've got these, you know, 60-year-old Hausfraus, you know, that are like, it's okay, I'm cool with it. And you're like, oh, they look like the purple lady that sings in the beginning of Return of the Jedi in the bar, in Jabba's bar. They all have that dumpy body with the big lips.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I see, we do this almost every week to some extent. I'm on Tinder right now. I'm looking at it, and I got a match with this chick who's really cute. I just showed Dan, right?
Yeah, okay. Confirm.
20 miles away, 21.
Ah, Joe.
Well, she, you know, hit yes on me. So now here's the thing.
So she's in for it.
Here's the thing. The only info I got about her goes, ask about me, smiley face, right? And then shared interest, Kevin Smith and the Doors. That's all I got to work with. This is where I always fuck up. The opening line. I've tried just the simple, hey, what's up? I get nothing back. Ever. Ever. I'm trying to tap into your creativity, Kenny. What is my opening line?
What is your opening line? How many things does she have to choose from that are compatible with you?
Well, it's not. Well, it's whatever you put on Facebook. That's where it grabs it from. Like your likes. Like that's, you know what I mean? Like that's how it shows that
okay.
We both like the Doors and I already forget what the, Kevin Smith. And that's it. So, but it's not just that. It's, you know how Tinder works. It's, you only get a match if both of the people like each other and you don't, you know. So, that means I must have swiped yes and she did to me. You know what I mean?
Okay, gotcha.
So, it's not like I'm just like searching out this random person on like a dating site, messaging her. There's been a thing established where we both somewhat, I guess, enjoy the way each other looks. That's how it goes on this app. So now I get the option to message her. And I put what? Someone help me here.
Well, I definitely would put that, you know, let's get together, meet for some coffee. I'll bring the acid, and then we'll go to Kevin Smith's comic book shop down the Jersey Shore.
Holy shit, I'm going to go with that.
You can get funnel cakes, some cotton candy, and some anal nitrate, and call it a good Thursday.
Hey, have you ever been to Kevin Smith's comic book store on acid?
See how he filtered it?
I fucked it up already?
You filtered it.
All right, tell me what I did wrong. I didn't send it yet. Go ahead. Kenny?
No. If she's a Kevin Smith, she's obviously likes the genre, but if she knows that he has a comic book store, you would say, no, I've never been around there, but I know they have a lot of concert memorabilia also, because he's a big fan of the same kind of music I like. Don't say that we like.
Okay.
Say that I like. Well, like Kevin's, go search what Kevin Smith's music likes are. You're probably going to get Pink Floyd in there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Roy Black on Crack in the chat has some suggestions. Baby, want to light my fire? I don't think that'll work. See, because she's a Doors fan, too.
If you take Roy Black on cracks, all you're going to have is, this is the end. My only friend, the end. He's the biggest creep I've ever not met.
Yeah, same here.
He's awesome.
All right, I'm typing it right now. Hey, have you ever been to Kevin Smith's comic book shop on acid?
No. Did she ask you if you were ever...
No,
she hasn't said anything. No, Joe's going for the first line.
She has the option to message me at this point because we both liked each other.
Okay,
But always up to the guy to message first.
Okay, take the comic book store out. Take the comic book store out.
All right.
I thought she said, I thought that was her question.
No, you just made that up in your head.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I totally did. Let's go with something a little simpler.
Okay.
Let's go, do you know where she's from? Area? Like the...
It just says within 20 miles.
Within 20 miles. Okay.
And her about section, like where she would put where that is or about her, it just says, ask about me. Smiley face.
To ask her, have you ever seen the Hudson River where Gloria Vanderbilt hung herself?
Have you ever seen...
the spot.
Well, she's keeping my Kane. She's 21. I'm not sure she's going to get that reference. I mean, yeah. I barely did.
Yeah, she's kind of young.
Yeah, who the fuck's going to get a Gloria Vanderbilt reference? And the Hudson River. She doesn't even know what the fucking river is. She's like, oh, it's the water you go over, but it's Tappan Zee. She doesn't know what the Hudson is.
That's that dirty water. Yeah. All right, well.
She's young. You have to go a little light, Joe.
I'll just put it down to think about it.
All right.
And maybe we'll go back to it later. Off the
Yeah, we can definitely set some up, though. That's not too intrusive, but you also don't want to.
Because I'm telling you, that's where I fail, is me sending the first message. I get nothing back. And it's.
Do you get too personal?
Dude, I've even mainly lately just tried, hey, what's up? Just you know, a hi, nothing.
You got to remember, Joe, they get flooded.
But then you see girls post, like, if you're going to message me, don't just say hi. Make me laugh. You get that shit a lot, you know?
Those are cunts, Joe. Don't swipe on those.
You know, what are you going to do?
Already making demands. You don't even know each other yet.
You're going to weed out the cunts. You're going to have no girls left. Weed out the cunts. Can't do
that. Who had the initial swipe? You had the first swipe?
It doesn't tell you. It just tells you that you both swiped each other. That's all.
You both swiped each other. Okay.
Yeah. That's the beauty of Tinder for me, is that there's no rejection. Like, people, I don't know when someone swipes no on me, you know? It doesn't tell you that.
That's good. That'd be bad if you got, like, a monthly report.
Oh, my God. It would be huge. Yeah.
Maybe you shouldn't try the site called Tinder. It should be called, like, Kindling, where it's like you're rolling a newspaper up, you know, like, rubbing two sticks together. I don't.
Well, that's what it feels like. But yeah. Mm. All right. Why don't we move on? It's already almost 8:30. Shit. Okay.
Shit.
Speaking of dating, this is what I was going to get into before.
This is another approach.
Yeah, I don't get why they're calling this guy an artist. I'm putting the link in the chat right now if you guys want to watch along. Take a listen to this. You'll see.
Okay. Are you single? Looking to mingle, maybe? Yes. Well, here's a question for you. How far would you go to find a date in New York City?
Well, there are a lot of single ladies. Apparently, it's like, you know, 10 to 1. I think that is the odd, actually, here in New York City. And it seems...
Is that true?
She seems to know.
Does that sound right?
She seems to have a definite handle on this situation right here.
Apparently.
First of all, that first guy talking is a douche.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like she's about to be like, and they're really hard to find a good one. Like, you could just, I don't know.
I guarantee this was a morning show.
Link's in the chat if you want to check it out, Kenny, on mute or whatever. But, yeah, it's Pix 11 in New York.
There you go.
Yeah.
Like, one man is skipping online dating. He's really taking a different approach to find the lovely ladies, but unfortunately, going to cost him big bucks. Our resident single man, Dan Manarino, is here to explain. Did you like that? I put you on full blast. You're single, dude.
Thank you very much.
Oh, gosh.
We'll find out. Hey, guys, if you're single.
As you'll hear more and more in this clip, the reason he avoided that question, he clearly takes up the ass. That's just my personal opinion. You'll hear.
Single in New York, you know, and it's not at all easy, as it seems, to find that special someone. Remember the days of going to great lengths to get a date to impress the one that you have your eye on?
By the way, keep that in mind as the story goes on.
Suki, do you remember that? This one man hopes that all his time and energy will impress one lady to pick up the phone and call him.
Yes, hello. How are you doing?
That's not me playing that, by the way.
He's a man on a mission to change this tune.
They show him walking around sidewalks.
Most ideal woman that you would like to target.
Show him, he's going around sidewalks, Kenny, in New York City, posting flyers of his face saying, looking for a girlfriend. And I guess his number.
The guy telling the story. I'm getting an echo now. Why?
I don't hear it.
No?
No.
I mean,
that you want to date.
She doesn't have to be a raging beauty.
Call him crazy, but Dan is hitting the streets of New York armed with flyers and $2 masking tape with one goal in mind.
One day I just woke up and said, I'm going to put up flyers for a girlfriend.
How many you hung up since you began?
It's been approximately 15,000.
15,000.
And it seems to be working, getting calls during our interview.
I'm cute. Yes. Thank you very much.
Okay, so...
Yeah. Working. Getting calls from assholes like me, the recording prank albums. That's the only thing who was really calling this guy? By the way, have you seen the guy? I don't know if someone can screen cap it in the chat. I don't know if you're checking out the video, Kenny.
Yeah, I just popped it on. I didn't want to screw anything up while you were playing.
Yeah, no, it's okay. You could probably just mute it if you want or skim through it. But yeah, 15,000 flyers. Keep in mind, by the way, the guy that's doing the story on him.
Hold on, do the math. 15,000 flyers at 3 cents each carry the one. That's $450.
Why would you say I'm gonna do flyers instead of like online dating?
Gotta pause it again real quick. Dan, would you say that is a attractive guy?
I don't think he's gonna win any contests.
Right.
Well, the original guy telling the story is definitely a strawberry party dude.
Absolutely. That's what I need you to keep in mind. It's hilarious coming up. Yeah.
Strawberry. You know what a strawberry party is?
I just assumed you meant gay.
Yeah, because what they do is they'll watch like a Sex and the City marathon.
Wait, strawberry party is a real thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
I haven't heard it around in a long time, but it was when a friend of mine was dating a girl who was best friends with a bunch of gay guys. And they would do Sex and the City marathons, bang each other, and then see whoever's butthole looks more like a strawberry.
This can't be real, Kenny.
This is real.
I'm gonna go to Snopes after the show and check that.
I'm not making this up, man.
I believe you heard it, but I don't think it happened.
Well, it didn't. It didn't that part of Manhattan that week.
All right, maybe. All right.
Or any other option.
I'm not into that scene. That's not me. Online dating, Craigslist. You get a chance at one woman.
Success rate
what?
Time.
What the fuck kind of logic is that?
He put a mugshot up.
Exactly. But he doesn't want to do online dating because what? What did he say? It's not his scene and you get one shot?
It's not my bag, man.
He said you get one shot. I don't know what the fuck that means.
I guess once he kidnaps somebody from the website,
yes.
He's not going to be. It's like with this, he can kidnap all kinds of women.
I guess.
They're not going to trace it.
He dresses like a Syrian rebel. There's no way he's getting a date in that part of town.
So accurate.
World artist by day, get
he
ready.
He looks like he should have a bread helmet waiting for mortars.
Like a bread helmet.
Gone on 65 dates so far, which got us thinking, in a world of online...
Did you hear that? He went... Wait.
I don't know if they even look like that.
Playing Match.com commercials now, but no, he went on 65 dates so far, and he still hasn't found... 65 women actually went to... No, not 15,000 women. 15,
out of 15,000 flyers, you got 60 dates, I'm saying.
65.
65 dates. That's a good percentage. You're doing it right.
They had to be all psychotic pigs.
Or they met him and decided, no.
Oh, you think they're the ones?
It could have been either way. It could have been either way. Maybe he's really picky.
Apparently.
Which is a shitty thing if you're putting your picture around New York City.
I guess.
Online dating.
I'm like, why not?
Why not?
When you find true love,
yes.
Is good old-fashioned paper the way to go?
No.
Real-life Hitch, a.k.a. dating coach Israel Ehrenstein, says the flyers are...
What's a fucking real-life dating coach? Well, apparently I need that. I need an online dating coach. But a real-life dating coach? By the way, talk about another guy that loves cock in his mouth. Listen to this.
Aren't the craziest idea, and success comes from...
It's almost like a match made in heaven. The person who hangs out the flyers with the woman who responds to the person who hangs out the flyers. So I think being yourself, that's a very key point in dating, and he was being himself. He's comfortable doing that.
So
okay, why did they put him in the story? What the fuck did he just add? I'm going to go back. Can anyone tell me what the fuck he just said? What does this real-life dating coach the news reached out to?
Aren't the craziest idea, and success comes from...
It's almost like a match made in heaven. The person who hangs out the flyers with the woman who responds to the person who hangs out the flyers. So I think being yourself, that's a very key point in dating, and he's
making sense.
No, he's not.
What he's... Yeah, dude.
Being yourself, so you're going to dress like an ISIS member, put your mugshot on the side of a payphone booth.
And it's a match made in heaven, no. Kenny.
But what he's saying is, someone who's crazy enough to put his picture up like that is then dating someone who's crazy enough to call the number. So you're kind of like keeping them all in the same club.
Okay.
Exactly, Joe. If you go back where he first posted on a telephone booth,
yeah.
Look at all the other tape shit that was on there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a tree service, somebody that does, sidewalk sweeping.
Some band hookers. You're working for.
Cousin Joe show sticker.
Yeah.
And this guy.
He's comfortable doing that.
So Dan clearly is hanging these on anything that is, well, tapeable. There's just one small problem, and that is the Department of Sanitation, which says posting flyers with tape is a fine, $75. Dan says, you know what? I don't care.
Ooh, as for rebel public opinion, while some say it's crazy.
No, I would not ever call anybody on a flyer.
This lady tried to help him out on the spot.
Lady, it's a little kid.
So maybe I should try this out.
Ugh, they just photoshopped this guy, the newscaster's face.
Maybe I should try this out.
The problem is, it says looking for a girlfriend in the Photoshop. I think there was a typo.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yep.
I tell you what, I'll write down the names and numbers.
You're gonna give me your leftovers?
I'll leave the flyers to that Dan.
Ugh. Hang on, there's more.
Take it down. Take it down.
Wow. Here's the thing, guys. You heard it's a fine of $75 per flyer. So after doing the math, he could be he hung 15,000 flyers. So after the math comes to a $1.1 million dollar potential fine. Here's the thing.
Stupid. Is the city going to actually do that?
I spoke to them, and they said that if they see the flyer on any public property, they will take it down and fine him the $75. Ooh. It seems that other people are tearing his flyers down before the Department of Sanitation can get to them. But he says he's using masking tape.
Why is that
he
funny?
Says because the masking tape, he hopes that city will say, you know what, we'll turn their eye.
And what happened to the woman that was on the phone that actually called him and he said, oh, I'm cute?
He wasn't interested in her because she was a specific age. So he's looking for a specific age.
So you grabbed that, right? You got that number, Dan?
No, she was older.
But
so,
can I ask you a question? If somebody...
The guy goes, what's the difference? Yeah, it's a typical gay guy response. No, the guy wasn't saying, like, ooh, she was younger. He was just saying, oh, it's just an open pussy that's looking for a guy. So did you save the number? Gay guy has no idea what he's talking about.
Well, yeah, but that other guy's pretty cool because he's like, did you get that one, dude?
Yeah.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
Yeah.
So no, you'd take it in the dumper.
I feel like that is so desperate to find love, right?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you give anything a shot and be open-minded about it? You're asking people to be open-minded to you, right?
Yes.
And I'll be non-judgmental. Mm-hmm. So why aren't you giving other people that?
So here's the guy. He has been married before.
Who?
He has a child. And he wants to have a...
What?
Joan Schmental? What kind of... Did you hear? She's like, well, I'll just be Joan Schmental.
Is that what she said?
Yeah. Who the fuck is Joan Schmental?
I have to go back. You say that? Wait.
Because she was a specific age, so he's looking for a specific age.
So you grabbed that, right? You got that number, Dan?
No, she was older.
But
so,
can I ask you a question? If somebody like that is so desperate to find love, right?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you give anything a shot and be open-minded about it? You're asking people to be open-minded to you, right?
Yes.
And I'll be non-judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
So why aren't you giving other people that
So here's the thing, guys. He has been married before. He has a child.
She said non-judgmental. I don't know where you got Shirley Fringensen.
Joan Schmental. No, keep going. Keep going.
No, that was it. Non-judgmental. All right.
And he wants to have another child. So he's looking for a woman of a certain age that can provide that. But, you know, I will say, he's a genuine guy. You know,
he's looking for a woman.
Oh, maybe. No, I thought you passed.
No, she said non-judgmental. Dude.
She's like, I'll be the Joan Schmental.
No,
I'm
she
like,
said
what?
Non-judgmental.
Did she really?
Point is, she was making no sense. Regardless, Kenny, she was making no sense. So what you interpreted probably made more sense than what she was saying.
In New York City, you look at a story like this, you say, okay, maybe it's a little crazy. He seemed like he was really interested in finding love.
Ugh, God. And I don't know why the story article is calling him an artist. That makes you an artist going around posting your mugshot on the paper saying looking for girlfriend? Oof. And then, with the age thing, I don't know if you caught it, he said the guy was married, but he wants kids, so he's looking for someone in the age group, I guess, that whose womb still works. So I guess a bunch of old hags are calling him. Because he looks like he's in his like late 50s, 60s, right?
I'd say 40s, 50s.
Something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah. Oh. Well, you want to hear a crazy bitch go nuts at a McDonald's?
All right.
Boy's up for that, right? This video's got to go in the chat.
And this girl has a boyfriend.
Does she?
That dude standing next to her, I think, is a boyfriend.
I thought it was a girl standing
she
next
says,
to her.
It looks like an old hippie with like long blonde hair.
It's hard to tell.
I mean, long gray hair.
It's hard to tell.
Because I think when she runs past, I think she said something along the lines of like, get out of the way, honey, or something like that.
Kenny, this is quick, but this is a woman, it's in the chat, whose card got declined at McDonald's.
It happens, man. Sometimes your card gets declined for that 99-cent cheeseburger.
This is how she responded.
First, agree to call police. Well, I want you to know that I want my orders out of the net. Here we go, motherfucker! No, this is real situation at hand. I am done. I want food right now. I want food right now.
Is she smacking the clerk?
I'm assaulting you. What time do you understand? I want the cop. I want food. I want food. Honey, watch out.
The guy, the manager starts to grab her to pull her out, and she's kicking him in the balls.
And the dude, the guy she pushed out of the way said, honey, watch out.
The yeah, you're
dude's
right.
Just like wandering like slowly behind them, like while he's dragging her out the door.
He was on that Kevin Smith acid. He was completely out of it.
He was gone. He was totally gone. Yeah. Man, I just wanted some fries, man.
Sad thing is, I think I've dated girls just like that.
You know what?
They don't get their way, and then whoa.
He's totally been through it before. He's got his hands in his
you know
back
what?
Pockets.
Yeah, yeah. That...
He's got unwashed hair that's splitting in the back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's over his shoulders, and it just the oil is clumping together.
That's a great point. He's just giving up, going, "Yep, this happens all the time."
He's like
what
this again. Here
do?
We go.
Yep. This is how
and if you see, if you go back, when she pushes the husband out of the way, his certs fall out of his pocket. And he doesn't go back to help her. He's just looking for his shit. Just in some pocket.
Yeah, he's so like oblivious and not giving a shit what she's doing. He's just like, oh, something fell out of my... Like,
you know what? Check that. It's definitely not certs.
Fuck.
It's definitely so, but I'm replaying it real quick, and she's, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. She pushes him out of the way, and he's like, oh, I dropped my shit.
Now I got to watch it again. Hang on. I got to watch it again. It's
yeah, it's only a couple seconds.
Like, yeah. It,
it's at least like, 30 seconds.
Yeah. I'm going to fast forward halfway.
Yeah, yeah. 34 seconds.
All right. 24. Okay, so coming up. Yeah, the guy's got his hand in his pocket, just watching. You can hear it fall, whatever that was.
Try a lighter or something.
His Zippo just fell out. His Grateful Dead Zippo fell out, and yeah, he
oh,
just...
man.
His fucking church key, and he's like, oh, shit, we got Miller Budweiser's.
I love how in her craziness, in her mission to fight the manager of the McDonald's, she had to push her boyfriend or whoever out of the way, go, honey, move. As she's running towards the other guy.
Yeah.
What a fucking relationship that
could
must
you
be.
Imagine waking up to that thing every
You forgot to take the garbage out the night before.
Shit. Yeah, it's going to be hell.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, they met on Tinder.
Let that be a warning to you, Joe.
Oh, I would never. Oh, if it ever. I see, that's a thing me hesitating with dating, too.
What?
Is
you're afraid of meeting
while,
crazies?
For years, for not that I've dated crazies, for years and years and years, I've been the king of the four-monther. Three to 4 months. By that time, it's just like, would you just get... And both of us.
That's not...
Just get away from me.
This is one of the things I lie about on dating sites. That's like my longest relationship, 4 or 5 months.
Really?
Yeah.
No shit.
I've had more than those that I can count, and I've had maybe one that was a year. Maybe when it was 7 months. Most of them, three months, three and a half months, boom, done.
Yeah.
A lot of it's me. A lot of it's me. I like my own ways. I like the way to do my stuff.
Right.
And it's cool. It's fun in the beginning. And then once they're like, well, you're never home. Well, you're never this. And I'm
like, that's how it always is, dude. In the beginning, and that beginning can last at least a couple of good weeks where – everything's fun, but then it gets to that point where it's, why aren't you doing this? Why? And it's like, wait, you understand I'm the same guy you met, right? Like a month or two ago? Well, why now are you expecting me to change?
And, you haven't changed yet.
And do this silly shit. Wait.
Right.
Like, what? No. What, why would I do this with you? What? No, I don't. What, and now you're getting mad? Like, you know, a couple months ago, it would just be like nothing. Now you're getting mad that I won't do what you knew?
Because you were supposed to be trained by now, Joe.
Oh, so...
How often did you have the? Well, I listened to your show.
Oh Jesus!
And do you really think like that?
Oh,
and how many times I've had to sit them down and go, listen, There is the stuff that me and you talk about. I won't divulge too much of it.
Right.
But I have to do it. I have to do a show, and I have to be honest, because otherwise my show is not going to come across like that. So that's kind of how my mind works on the other side.
Yeah.
It won't be like that at your parents' house.
Right, of course not. Right, I mean, there's two aspects to that, what we do. It's we're doing this, we're filling up time for entertainment. We're just talking off the top of our head for, you know, most of the time. And yeah, the other thing is we tell stories of being with other girls, because some of them are funny. It doesn't mean that we're still hung up on that girl that we're talking about, or, you know what I mean? But yeah, they hear that and they get crazy jealous.
You're like, I was 19 and I'm almost 40. Get over it.
Right, yeah, exactly.
All right, you want to talk about, let's get your little diary there, sister. Yeah. Let's go through your bullshit in college. Let's go through that one there, little sister.
But has radio, like, fucked up a relationship or two for you, Kenny?
Absolutely, yeah. 100%. Same with the stand-up, too.
Because did you make the mistake of inviting them to your shows?
Well, that's the thing. In the beginning, it's like, yeah, I want to go to the show, and it's fun and stuff, and we go out afterwards, and it's kind of exciting, and they meet a lot of people. And then it gets to the point where, like, well, I'm like, I got a show Friday and Saturday. You know, sorry. I'll see you Tuesday or Wednesday, somewhere around there.
Right.
Okay. And then it gets old, and after a while, they see your act 9,000 times, and they're like, "Yeah, I'm cool. I'll stay home." And I'm like, "All right. Well, that's just, I'd rather you do."
Yeah.
You know, to be honest, at this point, but you know, I'll be home. And then it's happened many times where people sometimes with what we do. They can't separate it, you know?
Yeah, and that's, like, it brings me back to the first thing you just said when we were talking about this subject, where they go, are you really like that? And it's like, what are you talking about? Do you know how much time we've spent together as opposed to the 3 hours you heard me on the air? What do you think? Do you not know me off the air by now? What do you think? You have to ask me that? They're just fucking all nuts. They're all fucking nuts.
Yeah, it happens, you know, my mother, I'll call her up and be like, "Ma, tell me that part." She's like, "I don't want to tell that on the air." And I'm like, "No, it'd be really funny." You know?
Right.
Because you can't go on the air and you can make shit up, of course, but you really can't
I go out of my way to not do that.
There's no legs in making stuff up. It's just got to be, you know, because people want to know what I went through. People want to know what you went through.
Because they can relate to it. And yeah.
Exactly.
Why would you make up a shitty story when you have great real ones, you know?
Exactly. Because, you know, mostly radio fans are creepos themselves.
Just like us.
Exactly. That's why we do it, and that's why they listen. It's a nice little community of just degenerate weirdos.
Completely agree.
and fucking people sitting in a cubicle every day should be envious. Yeah, go to your Buffalo Wild Wings. I'm going to go to fucking Coletta's show and talk about strawberry parties. Some say tomato, some say tomato. You know what I mean?
Fuck. Yeah. All right. Well, you want to do maybe one more story, Dan, and then
sure. Yeah, let's do another story. What are you thinking about?
I'm thinking about the drug story.
Yeah. Oh, okay, I know what you mean. Yeah,
I got that one over here.
Do it.
Should I?
Yeah, why not? It's a good thing to close out on.
Yeah, this. Check this out, Kenny. I still don't get how this is a crime. I'm not even. There's no reason to even preface it. We'll just play it out, and you'll see what I'm talking about. And this happens all the time. I've seen stories like this before. I've seen this on episodes of Cops, similar things. And here it is.
This one under head-scratcher crime, but a local man is under arrest after deputies say that he sold an agent a corner of a Pop-Tart and claimed that it was crack cocaine. Captain Anzel Harris with the Halifax County Sheriff's Office says Cameron Mitchell agreed to sell an undercover agent crack cocaine back in June. We're told Mitchell went to his truck and gave it to the agent, but when they tested the evidence, it was negative for drugs. Deputies questioned the man.
It was positive for diabetes.
Money, so he went to his truck, found a corner of a Pop-Tart, and sold it to the agent as crack cocaine. Mitchell was arrested today and faces two charges involving a counterfeit controlled substance. We're told the 30-year-old from Rocky Mount has two previous convictions in Nash County for possession of a controlled substance.
That's the end of it. A counterfeit control. How is it illegal to sell someone, even an undercover cop.
Well, wouldn't he be convicted of a confection?
Wait, what? What do you
mean? He would be convicted of possessing a confection. Confection is another word for pastry.
Oh, see, I didn't get it.
Joe was looking through his dictionary right there.
I told you, I don't like big words.
Right, but confections, right? Isn't confections like cookies and shit?
I'll just go with you on that, I guess.
Yeah, me too. But
I don't get why that's a crime. I mean, to me, that's more of, he wasn't being a drug dealer. He was being a con artist. I mean, maybe you can get him on that, but the charge was counterfeit drugs or something like that?
Oh, the intent is to sell drugs, so automatically they have to assume that it is a drug.
Once they find out it's not drugs, he was still arrested. I don't get that.
I think
that
we
was
should
for attempting to sell drugs.
Yeah. Once you find out it's a corner of a Pop-Tart, we should all just have a big laugh about it.
Exactly.
You know? Let him go on his way, say, you got me.
Right. And you know what? If it wasn't an undercover cop, it would have been someone not getting real drugs. So the cops would go,
helping.
Hey, win-win. Yeah,
yeah, he was helping out.
He's not really, yeah.
Oh. All right, I'm not going to say who, but there may have been someone that I knew that very close to. Could be me, could be somebody I knew. I'm not sure, but bought a $150 ice cube.
Ice cube.
Yep, Poughkeepsie, New York.
good old Poughkeepsie.
Now, wait, no. I'm trying to figure out what it's supposed to be, an ice cube.
Okay, this so-called friend of mine wanted to get cocaine.
Of course.
Could have been me, could have been someone else, or somebody I was with, you know what I mean?
Right.
My sister's making dinner, so I have to watch out. She's putting it out.
Gotcha.
First go-around, this friend and another friend got a little small little baggie, but it was all procaine. It was just numbing agent, you know what I mean? Very small.
Yeah.
So the one stupid drunk comedian dude decides to get out and raise hell in the parking lot of the club where the driver who was on parole, the taxi driver, didn't want to go to.
Oh, no.
Didn't want to go to, but this comedian and another comedian friend of his decided, yes, we have to, and we're not taking this shit. So the one comedian
He went to return his drugs?
Yes. He demands more. And then a bunch of other big guys came out, and the one comedian decided that this isn't cool. I'm just going back to the car, and the car was parked in the front. He was going back to the car. The car was parked in the front, and so then one guy said, "Hey, listen, man, I just went inside. I know you got ripped off, but here it is. You can feel it, and it's a dollar bill wrapped up, and you can feel it. It's crunch. You know, you can feel it. It's in there." Yeah, sure. The comedian felt it, and then got in the car and opened it up. It was an ice cube. So $170 later, the two comedians just decided to go home.
did the person that felt it not feel the cold on his hands?
Not one bit, because it was one of those areas where they were like, cuckoo, cuckoo. And they were making calls, and it was some place that these two comedians should not have been at all, ever.
Red Sox in the chat says, sounds almost as bad as Joe trying to snort crack. I don't think you've heard this story, Kenny. Back in my coke days, this is like a promo out of this story, but I'll tell it again quickly. I was going down to Patterson in the very beginning, my amateur coke days, where Patterson was like all I knew.
You were a rookie.
Yeah, before I got like a solid connect, you know, for coke. So I would go down to Patterson, and just any guy I saw on the street that wasn't selling weed was selling coke. So that's what I would do. And this one afternoon, I went down, and guy comes over, and he's got his friends that are like, you know, 15-year-old kids on bicycles looking out for cops, and I'm parked, and he comes up to the car, tell him, I think it was like a 20 of coke at that time.
Sure.
That's how amateur I was buying 20 bags. Really rookie move.
Yeah, you're in that neighborhood 17 times.
Yeah, exactly.
In like
every day.
8 hours.
Every fucking day. So, he comes back, and instead of the usual, you know, little baggie, of course, it's in a vial, and it looks like sea salt.
Oh boy!
He hands it to me. After I give him the money, of course, and I go, "What is this?" And he goes, he looks me dead in the eyes, and he just goes, "It's coke." And I go, "All right, Because what am I going to do? Say, I don't think it is, sir. I'd like to speak to your supervisor.
I don't think this is up to standards and practices. This just doesn't look that. And it doesn't.
So then
it gets scary, doesn't it?
Yeah.
When you start talking shit to the guy.
Oh, I would. Yeah, I would never.
Well, I heard. I heard it gets scary.
So yeah, I did that whole thing where you've seen the movies where you extend your thumb and forefinger and you pour it out like on the top of your hand in that little, you know, web or whatever. And I guess I tried sniffing crack because I sniffed a couple of these things and it fell right back out of my nose.
Yeah, I would have thought you tried to break it up and that would have took a half an
Well,
hour.
I was driving, Kenny. I didn't have time.
So you left that part out. Yeah. See, that's the kicker.
You think I could wait till I got home into your mind? No.
Yeah, and then you get your mom's driveway, and you're an hour and a half trying to find it because it flew out of your proboscis.
And I to this day, I don't know. It could have been crack, but again, the best description is sea salt. That's like what it looked like. And fuck, it could have been sea salt. Who knows? But I tried like rubbing some of my gums to see, and I thought I got like a numbing effect. And then I tried to crush the little things, but then they went flying across the room.
Yeah, it's a totally different, makeup chemically. Yeah,
yeah, and so I'm pretty sure that was crack.
At least you got something real. You didn't get an ice cube.
Yeah,
so stupid.
I still can't believe.
I should have known so much better, but I did.
I still can't believe that certain person didn't feel the cold.
He didn't. He just went, okay, man, I'm going to get in the car. And then,
out of all the things to fake, what asshole goes in their freezer and breaks out an ice cube? I mean, Jesus Christ, he had nothing.
No, it was a nightclub. All he did was dip his stupid fingers into someone's drink and wrap it up in the bottle.
Oh, my God, that's even
and
worse.
And send this comedian on his way. Back home to the better part of Poughkeepsie, you two. Straight home.
Well, by the way, I've been to Poughkeepsie for similar reasons, too. That's a whole
There's a bad part of Poughkeepsie, dude.
Yeah, that's the part I was in for that. Yeah. But the worst experience I had in Patterson, talk about a fucking rookie. Oh, dude, I had my parents' car because mine was in the shop. Actually, no, I just totaled it because I was drunk driving or something. I had one of those. But I was using my parents' car to go down to Patterson and get coke, and again, I spot a random black guy that says he's selling shit. If you're a kid out there and you like drugs, learn from this. Do not ever let the dealer in your car.
Oh, no.
Under no circumstances, let them in. So he goes, yeah, you know, I got the shit, but I just got to go around the corner. I just, you know, give me a ride. So I go, okay. And I got my cell phone in the cup holder. And it was like right after Christmas. I had $100 worth of Christmas money.
You had the Muhammad Atta of drug dealers. He's like, I'm taking over this cockpit. Let's roll.
It pretty much was a hostage situation. He told me where to drive around the corner to some, you know, apartment complex that I parked in front of. He's about to get out and he goes, oh, wait, no, but I got to call my boy. I don't have my phone. Can I use your phone to call my boy to get it? I go, all right, man. And he goes, I need to give him the cash, too, because he won't give it to me up front. I am so fucking dumb. I handed this guy my cell phone and $100 in cash.
Holy shit.
Because I was half, like, you know, kind of scared, not knowing what was going on. So he walks around the back of the building, the complex, with my phone and my $100. And, you know, you fast forward 15 minutes. 25 minutes, tapping on the steering wheel, tap, 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 looking around.
I wonder where he went.
Yeah, I just, like, my face got, I got embarrassed for myself alone. My face got red and went, oh my God, I'm the dumbest person alive. I am a fucking rube. And I remember pulling away. I was so, like, dumbfounded. I didn't know what to do. I actually asked some random old black woman that was right there in the area, like, describing him and telling her what had happened. And she gave me the Italian hand under the neck, like, fuck you. Like, yeah, she goes, you know what just happened? And she goes, that. Just the
that's fucking awesome.
Pain in the neck. That
is awesome.
Like, you just got fucked. Get out of our neighborhood. It was like that.
Excuse me, ma'am. I'm trying to get some drugs.
I was like, she was my complaint department. I didn't know what else to do. I was like, you know, this guy that just, he supposedly lives here. Do you know if he's going to,
so you never got that cell phone back, huh?
Oh my, dude, when I got home, my house phone at the time was right in the kitchen where my parents were. I was so out of my mind. I used the phone. I picked it up in front of them, called my cell phone. He answers, and I go, "Listen, you black motherfucker, I'll meet you, and I'll blah, blah, blah." And then, of course, my parents are hearing this. So I had to make up a story that I got mugged in the underground parking lot of a mall for my phone. And then that lie lasted about 27 seconds when I called him right back and went, "I'll go back down to Patterson where we met, and I'll get..." Because I was just like blind rage, mad, you know, just, and yeah, that was a down point.
Yeah,
it might have been possibly the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life.
I wasn't at this one, but it's one that's like a legendary story amongst my friends. My friends used to go to Bankard Street in Newburgh to get weed. And this is like, you know, we're like 18, 19 years old. And so one day they drive, and what you would do is, you know, you drive around the block, guy would come up to the car, you tell him what you want, you take, go around the block, come back, and by the time you come back, you know.
Newburgh, upstate New York, Newburgh?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. By Poughkeepsie?
Yeah, right across the river. A lot of fun stuff. I'm from New Windsor. I'm from right near Newburgh. But we're the buffer. So my three friends are in a car. They come up. They say, "Yeah, we need a dime. We need whatever the hell they're asking for. I forget."
Mm-hmm.
And they go back around. They give the guy the money. They come back around. The guy comes up to the car, and the kid in the back seat has the window down, and he hands him this crumpled up bag. He's like looking around, and he hands him this crumpled up bag of Doritos. What? And he's like, "Yo, it's in the bag," and starts walking away. And so the dude looks in the bag, and there's nothing there. Fucking guy in the back of the car, I don't know what he was thinking.
Gets out.
Reaches out the window and grabs the dude.
What?
Grabs the dude. You know, "You fucking like piece of shit. Like, what the fuck are you doing?" The guy driving panics, guns it, chirps up on the curb and peels out. And the other dude, I guess, you know, the dude.
I thought you were gonna say he crashed.
No. Dude, they chirped out, went around the block. But dude, could you imagine if the guy didn't gun it, what would have happened in that situation? Dude, I mean, because the street was just, these guys would just be milling all over the fucking street, man.
There's certain lapses of judgment that people will do that afterwards you look back on it and go, "What the fuck are you out of your mind?"
Yeah, see, now,
why would you get out of the cab?
Or what I was thinking was, like, you know, if it was for, like, coke or something out of crack, whatever, I could see that state of mind, but this was about pot.
Yeah, it was just some weed.
It was only over that's pot? The best.
Dude, they were 19.
Holy shit, but that's still...
You were young, you didn't know.
How did you not know? I mean,
he just he had a temper. He just easily he had saw a someone fucking him over. Exactly. He knew he was getting fucked, and he was,
and that's when you go, "Oh, I learned the hard way," and you move on.
Yeah.
Yeah, like there's no way this little comedian dude should be yelling at 6'5", packing black dudes that he's not satisfied with his purchase. There's no possible sanity to it, but it happens.
Yeah,
and you just thank your lucky stars you made it out of Poughkeepsie.
Yeah, it's all part of the drug journey. You know, in the beginning, you go through those amateur rookie moves where you learn the hard way.
Yeah, as long as you make it through, it's fun later on when you talk about it.
Yeah, and you get fun stories out of it. So what we're saying, kids, is, you know, it doesn't hurt to try drugs.
Yeah, get in a little trouble and then just make it out.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, survival of the fittest. Some
dude, honestly, man,
some of us don't.
Now that I'm 30, I'm trying to be honest, thinking out loud. I don't want to say I'm too scared. What it is, as opposed to my early 20s when I used to go cop coke in neighborhoods like that, you know, I was in that, like, felt invincible phase.
Absolutely.
Now I'm more like, I think I'd be too paranoid to even bother. Even if I wanted coke, which I don't anymore, thankfully, like, it's not in my appetite for some reason, thankfully, anymore. But if it was, like, I don't think I could do it. I don't think I could go to some strange neighborhood.
Nope.
I'd be more worried about getting arrested than anything.
It's personal. It's over. It ends.
Yeah.
Once it isn't very easy, and what you do is you hope it doesn't become easy later from somewhere. You know what I mean?
Oh, dude, I've been through that too, where it's either, you know, a girlfriend or a mutual friend of a friend who has it around, and they always do, and you got to go, you know what? I can't hang out with them. I can't.
Exactly. Yeah. When it's too easy, yeah, you're like, all right, you just hope that it, you know, you don't avoid shit, but right. You just kind of like, you'll never go back. You'll never go back to the old way where it's like, no. let's go, come on, it's our guy's weekend. Nah, that shit don't happen anymore.
No.
You know?
I mean, I remember weekdays, 12 in the afternoon, me and my friend in a 7-Eleven parking lot just going like, why isn't he picking up? Calling the dealer. You know, like why is he, what the fuck? You know, it's only like 11:45 in the fucking morning, and we're pissed wondering, we got to wait till 6? What the fuck is wrong? What? No reliable drug Yeah, nah, those days are long gone, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's like that. It stays like that. You know, it stays like that. And whatchamacallit, as long as that hunger isn't there, then you're good.
That itch, yeah, fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Kenny, we're going to wrap up. Dude, thanks so much for calling in.
No, I'm glad I made it back in time. I promise you, and I'll see you on Monday my show.
Absolutely, yeah. And this time, I'm finally going to see you in person on Conti and Kenny, right? You're going to be in studio.
Yeah, I had the family thing with my mom in the back.
But I mean, but this time you will be.
I will be. 100%, yes.
Awesome. All right. Well, I will see you then.
And yeah, I'll bring you my Yeti.
Oh, yeah, so I saw the picture you sent.
So you can see it.
It looks pretty fucking cool.
No, it's really cool. It looks pretty good.
All right, bro. Dude, thanks so much, man. Really.
Yeah, thanks, fellas, man. I'll talk to you guys soon, all right?
All right, man. I'll see you Monday.
All right, take care.
Later, bro.
Later.
There goes Kenny from Conti and Kenny. Hilarious, amazing fucking guy. So happy he called in tonight. That is it for us for tonight. We will be back next Thursday with our normally scheduled program.
Normally scheduled programming.
Anything you got to plug, Dan?
No, I got nothing going on.
All right, then. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next Thursday. Have a good night.
The lunatic is on the grass, remembering games and daisy chains and laughs. Got to keep the loonies on the path. The lunatic is in the hall. The lunatics are in my hall. The paper holds their folded faces to the floor. And every day the paper boy brings more. In my head, the lunatic is in my head. You raise the blade, you make the change, you rearrange me till I'm sane. You lock the door. Throw away the key. There's someone in my head, but it's not me. And if the cloud bursts thunder in your ear, you shout and no one seems to hear. And if the band you're in starts playing different see you on the dark side of the moon.
All that's to come.